Hello, I'm Austin from Sisters Doll.
I'm Bryce from Sisters Doll.
And I'm Brennan from Sisters Doll. And you are listening to Shout It Out Loud cast with Tom and Zeus.
Let's go.
Fuck you. Yeah.
Turn it up.
Fuck you.
Bam! That's right. We're back with episode 54 of Dorm Damage. And we're back with a list from our favorite provider of lists, Ultimate Classic Rock. Zeus, what are we looking at this week?
So this week we have top 15 Sunset Strip bands.
Yes.
So LA, here we come.
Yes. And as I do whenever we do these lists, I see the headline and I wait until we hit record and go through them in real time so my reactions can be authentic, because I have a feeling some of these bands might be a little cringe, but I don't know. We'll find out. Sunset Strip has its goods and its bads.
Yeah, I haven't looked at this list as well. Let's get into it.
Okay. So we start at number 15. With Faster Pussycat.
I like them.
Me too. I do too. I think they are arguably one of the sleaziest bands that you could imagine. I think they got some catchy tunes. I love Poison Ivy, Bathroom Wall. I like them. I mean, they're not a band that I would, you know, go out of there. I don't know if I'd buy a glow in the dark vinyl box set of Faster Pussycat, but
yeah, I like them. I see. I think that at a certain point, bands like Faster Pussycat, Guns N' Roses, LA Guns, Skid Row,
yeah,
started changing the hair metal scene into kind of like, I wouldn't say grunge, but
they
that
got dirt.
Middle,
they got,
yeah, but that middle look like punk and street.
Yeah,
and,
like and dangerous stuff. Almost, like dangerous. Like, yeah,
I mean, it was still somewhat stylish.
Yep.
An image kind of done, because, you know, I'm not dressing up like Amy Downing going into high school dressed like that. No, I would get pulled on.
Yeah, he is not what you would call a handsome man. And by the way, these group photos are almost like interchangeable. If you're not familiar with some of these bands, it's freaking awesome.
I like the guitar work. I thought,
yeah,
Mr. Pussycat is one of the fun bands at that time. And they're still around kicking.
Yep, I agree. I agree. You know what? When I think of them, whether you love them, hate them, or think they're great or shit, I just think that they're authentic. I think they're from that area, and I just think they were being themselves. I don't really think they were corporatized and like pretending to be like a glam band. I think that was them.
Yeah.
But
I think they're a little bit above what was the copycat scene that had come out later on, like,
yep,
copying Guns N' Roses and stuff. I honestly agree. Think that them, LA Guns and Guns,
yep,
were just different. Just
I agree. Different. So we're at number 14 here. I know how I feel about this band. We know how our friends feel about this band. I want to know how Zeus feels about this band. And that is Striper at number 14, Zeus.
They're just too smiley in these photos.
Well, that, and they're just not good.
Well, I had I think, which, what was the big
Hell
hit
with the Devil?
No, I think that was, I'm not sure if that was the breakthrough album that had, what's their two big hits, like Calling on You and the other, Honestly.
Honestly.
I got that and I liked it. I liked it. I thought their voices were good. I thought the lyrics are just out there, the whole Jesus thing. And then I went backwards. I did buy, you know, Soldiers Command, fucking whatever they call that shit. And the other one, whatever it was, Black and Yellow Attack or Bumblebees, whatever. And I bought all those and I liked them. And then I just kind of fell off the face of the earth after the grunge period came in, like a lot of these bands. I never got into them. I can't see how these guys were Sunset Strip. They were playing the same places. Hey, move over, Guns. Here comes Stryper.
I agree. I was shocked to see them on this list. I never got into them. And I, you know, I went to Catholic school my entire life, so it has nothing to do with that. It's just they just never did anything for me. But I'll tell you right now, the Stryper tards out there, they love this band, the people that love Stryper. It's almost like they have to defend them because people like me and you exist. But I just never got into them.
Yeah, I the stuff that they're playing now, I tried.
I did too. They were on the cruise. They were on one of the Kiss cruises, and I just couldn't do it.
I can respect Michael Sweet. He's a very good singer. He's got a good voice.
Yep.
I said it to Eddie. He said, "Well, you know, they're not thrash, but I'm like, why don't they play the music they style they were that got them popular? They play a heavier style, and I just."
Yeah.
It's not melodic to me. I can't get into it. So yeah,
no.
They're off for me.
All right. Number 13. We just talked about them. Let's continue talking about them. LA Guns.
I like them right from the start. Bought their first album, their second album, the third album, the fourth album. I went through it all. I like them. I like their music. I like their style. I think they're authentic as well.
Yep.
I think the drummer looks like the principal from the, Smoking in the Boys Room video.
Dude, all of these guys look like if you did an AI LA hairband, this is what you would come up with, this picture.
Yeah, but he specifically looks like the Hills Have Eyes guy. Look at him.
Yeah.
I think he's the one that had his own little band and did Steve. I think his name is Steve Riley, and he did his LA Guns, like ripping off the name.
Yeah,
he was in Wasp for a little bit, too. Regardless, LA Guns is Tracy Guns.
Of course.
Let's not be silly. And he's a very good guitarist. I like him.
I love this band.
And I like Lewis's voice. I think he sings well. And I remember when that idiot was on Melrose Place once.
Yep. Go ahead.
And the whole, I think the storyline was some hot chick was making that guy Jake, who do you used to work for? Jake,
who do you work for, Jake?
I work for Moist. I work for Mayflower.
I work for Melrose.
They got upset with him because he was pulling wheelies on the tractor trailers. But supposedly, like, he was like throwing shit against the wall and then acting like as though he was like an artist's pain and stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
In other words, what Paul Stanley does.
Yeah.
And he came out to him and was like, "Hey, man, I really feel your pain," or whatever. It was just
relax.
And I was like, "Dude, do you realize they're making you look like an idiot on this show?"
Yep. But,
I don't know. Anyways, I got sidetracked there. LA Guns is a very good band. Like them. They got a lot of good songs.
Yeah, me too. And I ever since I've been a SiriusXM subscriber, they play them all the time on Hair Nation. Tons of great stuff. Really good sound. Melodic, but still kind of heavy, a little bit punky and rock. And, you know, like we said about Faster Pussycat, just that I like them a lot.
All right, let's move over to the next one.
Number 12, Wasp.
See the picture? That's the same guy. Go above.
They're all the same guy.
No, it's the same drummer in both those photos.
I know.
He looks like the Hills Have Eyes guys.
Yeah, that's the same guy that crashed
Bend
the party.
Over. Yeah.
That's the guy that crashed the party at Weird Science.
He sniffs his armpits.
Yeah. But anyways, Wasp was never a big fan, never really owned any of the material, but the songs that I know, I like. I think Blackie's got a tremendously underrated voice. I like songs like, you know, Blind in Texas and stuff like that. Like, good sound. It's just a blind spot for me in the glam era. I just never really got into them, but it's not because I didn't like them. I just kind of missed them.
They're another one of those. They're not thrash heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not hair metal.
They're like Motley Crue, kind of.
Yeah,
like they're Shout at the Devil era Motley Crue to me.
They're like not heavy enough to begin. They're like bands that Beavis and Butthead would laugh at, saying they're not heavy. They're not Metallica or something like that. Like an Accept or a Grim Reaper, shit like that. I bought their albums. I told you when I'd go to Greece, at some point I'd go to the record stores. That's all I had to do. And I'd buy cassettes. And I literally bought the cassette a couple Wasp albums just from the cover.
Like a Beast?
Yeah, just from the cover.
Yeah.
And I, of course. And I had a few of them, and I liked a few of them, but their lyrics are like Ace Frehley-type lyrics.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're okay. I don't really have a problem with them.
I don't either.
I think it's a little bit of a Kiss and Alice Cooper / fucking ripoff kind of gimmick, but whatever. They're okay. They're all right.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. Because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once. New quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
All right, and then we move to another band here that I have strong opinions about this one, but number 11, Warrant.
This is
go ahead.
Poster child for more Cruise.
I think there might be other bands on this list that might be the poster child for more.
I don't know, but I think of like bands like Warrant, who's very well known for their lead singer who has since passed away.
Yep.
But they're still out there touring, doing hits, and I don't know who the lead singer is now, but their first 2 albums I liked them. They were pretty good. I never got into anything out, but they're also part of our podcaster friends' poster child. What are you talking about? Their 5th album is fantastic.
They love Warrant. This is another band that I know a couple of the hits, never got into them. I never owned a Warrant album. And to me, it's the exact same thing that Janie Lane said in that documentary. He's like, I became the cherry pie guy. I hated it. And he's right.
Sure he did.
Yeah, exactly. I hated it.
He didn't hate it when he was doing the video and it was number 1.
When he was banging Bobby Brown in the fucking video.
Like, he wasn't. He just didn't like the backlash he got later on. But he was all in for it before.
Yeah, I didn't like that song. I thought that song was stupid. I didn't like it. I think Uncle Tom's Cabin to this day still fucking rips. It's a great song. They have a couple of good songs, but I never owned Warrant. And I know it might be blasphemy to the Warrant people out there. I'm not a fan of Janie Lane's vocals. I know that's like might sound bad. There's probably another band on this list where I'm going to say the same thing and probably get hate for that too. But Warrant was just a band we never got into.
I thought he had a decent voice.
It's okay. It's fine.
But they're just another one that kind of just poison light. Mm. And their lyrics are better. And I thought musically they're better, but they got kind of lumped in there. And unfortunately, they died with the movement. Yeah. And then they came back and, you know, fortunate for them, they still have a career touring out there doing their thing. And God bless them.
Yep. All right. Number 10. Well, these guys should be way fucking higher than this, but number 10 is Dokken, one of our favorite bands ever between the two of us.
Yeah, I don't agree with it being this high. I can only imagine what's ahead of them, but
yeah,
they're just musically better than most of these bands out here.
It's not even close so far. So far, they're leaps and bounds above the other 4 bands that we just mentioned, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they didn't have any big double platinum type albums. They didn't have any top 20 singles.
And they also didn't have Cherry Pie.
Yeah. So, which, I mean, but the other bands did. So
right, right.
Musically, I think they're just better than most bands. I think it's simply yep. George Lynch. And Don Dawkins got a decent voice. The music was good.
Yeah, but what it about just, Wild Mick Brown?
He's got a major ball splitter. And then I just, Don Dawkins is probably the, you know, he's got a good voice.
He does.
But he, kid, are you getting inspired when you're at a concert and Don Dawkins is the front man?
No, he's boring. I saw Dawkins. Now, not, I didn't see them in their heyday, but I saw fat, sweaty Don Dawkins.
like, what is he known for? He's not doing anything crazy on the stage or anything.
No.
He's not like...
He's a very serious vocalist when yeah. he's up there.
Yeah, he's wearing his fucking stupid hat and fucking long trench coat. It's just, you know, he's just not charismatic.
Yeah, but we love Dawkins, though.
Okay, but you can see another band that's going to be up there. I'm going to compare them to when they come okay. up. I'm okay. sure they'll be on this list.
But all right, so we're up to number 9. Ugh, I hate that this band. I know it's only one spot, but I hate that this band is ranked higher than Dawkins. And number 9 is Poison.
Yeah, I don't think of them really, Sunsetship. I knew they were from Pennsylvania originally, but eventually they made it there. And yeah, they have their mark. They were big at one point over there. They had their style. Chicks loved them.
Yeah.
They were outrageous for the stuff, but I think they're, yeah, you know, you might be right, but I think, you know, they're bigger than the Mork Cruise.
Oh, absolutely, they are.
So that's why they're not the poster child for that. Right. And Warren is.
Yeah, you know what? You know what you know what Poison has that a lot of these other bands don't have? They have a female audience. They have Talk Dirty to Me. They have I Want Action. They won't have I Won't Forget
Say
You. Every rose has its thorn. They have songs that the chicks like.
No, it's not just that.
Oh, Brett, I think it is. But
Michaels,
go ahead.
Brett Michaels yeah. is very likable.
Yeah,
he is.
I agree.
Out there, he works his ass off. They have to be out there on social media, to be out there doing things, and he had no shame. And because he was just as much as a punchline as Janie Lane was, and he fucking turned it around, and people respect him now. He's got his own little fair that he does.
Yep.
And they're very popular, and he managed to do it. Good for him.
The thing I like about Brett, he doesn't take him. He embraces who he is. He doesn't try to pull like a Paul Stanley right now. He's like, you know what? I'm Brett Michaels. I made my bones doing Look What the Cat Dragged In. Like he knows that. He embraces that and he owns it. And I think that's why people gravitate towards him. They're entertained by him because he knows I'm Brett Michaels from Poison. I'm not going to try to pretend that I'm somebody else, that I'm some grand songwriter or performer. I'm Brett Michaels from Poison. I'm going to perform with my band. I'm going to perform solo. I'm going to do acoustic stuff, but I'm going to entertain, and you guys aren't going to be bored when you see me.
And his voice is horrendous. It never was any good. No offense. What? All right. Fuck.
All right. And we got at number 8. I don't know if I click the wrong link here. The 60s band Buffalo Springfield.
All right. So you read the Mick Wall book on the Eagles, right?
Yes.
So the Troubadour was such a breeding ground for musicians.
Yep.
And that's the Sunset Strip, I believe. So that's why. And Buffalo Springfield was in. I mean, they influence everybody. All those players that were on that and in Buffalo Springfield, all of them eventually became something.
But let's be serious.
They were huge.
I'm not saying that, but
influential.
Let's be serious. Ultimate classic rock, putting them in this list. That come on.
No, the only complaint you should have is say this should have been from the 80s on, but if you go for history of that area, fuck yeah, they should be in there. They were huge.
Ultimate classic rock isn't trying to educate people. When you see an article on the Sunset Strip bands, nobody wants to read about Buffalo Springfield, whether they belong
accurate.
In this list.
It's historically accurate. They were and the Troubadours were all those people together.
I get that.
Jackson Brown, the Eagles, fucking Crosby, Stills, and Nash. All these musicians were
area. I'm not denying any of that. All I'm saying is Sunset Strip has a connotation in the previous
for us.
for everybody, because look at the other six bands that we just named. But anyways, I just think it's a little bit kind of silly of Ultimate Classic Rock to throw these guys in there, whether they accurately belong here or not. And you're right, because they played at the Troubadour, they played at the Whiskey. I get it. I get it. I get it. But let's get back to the bands that we care about. And these guys should be way higher. And I think this was the band you were referencing when we were talking about Dokken, and that is Rat at number 7.
Yeah. What does Stephen Piercy do? He doesn't jump up and down like David Lee Roth. He's not fucking talking like Paul Stanley. Right. But he's still a charismatic frontman.
Yep, I agree.
Right? Totally. Think of the difference in Rat with him and Dokken. I mean, Don Dokken's got a better voice than Stephen Piercy, but I like Stephen Piercy's unique, sleazy voice better.
Yep.
But
we've seen, we saw, me and you saw Rat. We saw them once at Hampton. I saw them again at a really small club up in Hampton. And they still, they could still play. They could still perform.
Yeah, and that's because Warren wasn't in that version of the Rat tour.
Correct.
But
correct.
What I'm saying is Stephen Piercy is charismatic. Dokken is what killed Dokken.
Well, yeah, I think him and their in the dynamic with George and all that other stuff. But in terms of charismatic frontman, yeah, Don does not have that at all.
Not at all. And the frontman should be the big fucking stud in the 80s. That's how it was. But Rat is fan-fucking-tastic. I love them.
Me too.
All the way through. But Stephen Piercy's awesome.
I agree. Ditto on that one.
There you go. No. Look at what number 6 is, and I told you.
Same thing. Just like Buffalo Springfield, the Birds. And I get it. I get it. Yep.
And you got Roger McGinn, Gene Clark, David Crosby, Chris Hill, and you can do a fucking Kevin Bacon separation thing of them between the Eagles, fucking a million other bands because of this fucking band.
Totally. Yeah, I agree. Everybody knows Turn and Mr. Tambourine Man and all that other stuff. Yeah. Legendary for that era. But then let's go to number 5. I think these guys are way too high, but I understand the impact that they had at the time. And then number 5, we got Quiet Riot.
Well, having the first heavy metal,
exactly
considered heavy metal, number 1 album of all time.
Yep.
That was huge.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I agree. Unfortunately, they only really had one big album. Everything else kind of was really downhill from there.
Well, you didn't like Condition Critical?
Well, I mean, how many Slade songs can they cover?
Well, don't forget about on Metal Health. Don't forget about Slick Black Cadillac. I mean, come on. But Quiet Riot's another band. Some of their hits are good, but Kevin Dubrow's voice, another one, rest in peace. Powerhouse of a voice. But
He's a charismatic guy.
Totally. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Major receding hairline, but he was a charismatic guy.
Yep. I'm shocked that this band was not number 1, because not looking at this list, I thought that these guys would be number 1. So I'm interested to see who will be. But at number 4 is Motley Crue.
Yeah. I don't know any other band that's synonymous with Sunset Strip in the 80s. Right.
What can you say about Motley Crue that hasn't been said by us and everybody?
They dominated. And then the parties they would throw afterwards. And they were the band from that time and during its height.
Yeah. Yeah. When I think, like you said, when Sunset Strip, the first band that pops in my head is these guys.
So, yeah, I know they're going to go historical at number 1. But they're not, because it's number 3. What I was thinking was going to be number 1.
Here's a band I fucking love these guys. We haven't touched them yet on ARC, but plenty of time to get into that. Number 3 is The Doors.
Yeah, and that's what I'm telling you. So if you're going to put The Doors in, then you got to go the rest of the bands historically.
Yep.
And they're the Whiskey synonymous with them, and just the way Jim Morrison, you could find him drunk anytime on the street.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing band.
Love these guys. Yeah. And I know the Doors is one of those bands. You mention them and people are either like, oh, or people like me and you fucking love them. So, they got to be going historical at number 1 here, because here's another one that I thought had a shot at number 1. And at number 2, we got Guns N' Roses at number 2.
I think their time in their dominance on the strip was less than Motley Crue's.
It was a quick hit. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they became huge versus Motley Crue, I think, dominated for a while before they really took off.
Totally agree.
But, as soon as Appetite went into hyperdrive,
yep,
they were gone.
Yep. Agreed. All right.
They changed everything, though. Their look, the attitude, absolutely. Everything.
Absolutely, they did. All right. What do we got at number one?
Yeah, wow. I can kind of see this.
I get it, because a lot of people think that this band is kind of the grandfather slash godfather of Sunset Strip hair metal glam rock, and that's Van Halen at number one.
Yeah, with the Guitar Hero and the blonde front man and
yep,
the crazy party drummer, the party bass rock. Is boozing. And
yep, I get it. I don't
fun times.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with this one at all. I mean, a lot of people see that these guys are kind of the template for it. Part, like you said, charismatic frontman, Guitar Hero, party anthems, engaging with the crowd, the smiliest band on the list, probably.
The only thing I would say is they never influenced fucking wardrobe, thank God.
Like, why, no one. Like, why you don't like Eddie Van Halen's like culottes with the striped Waldo socks or whatever the fuck he was wearing? Or, you know,
patched pants that he always had on? Or,
yeah.
It's just, yeah, no one's like, oh, I want to copy the Van Halen dress look.
Yeah.
Nobody's wearing the fucking suspender spandex fucking DLR fucking clothes either.
Yep. You know, it's true.
Or him riding a big microphone dick on stage.
I mean, I'll give Ultimate Classic Rock credit. Off the top of my head, I don't think they missed anybody on this list.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Anybody else would be kind of mediocre.
Yeah.
I think that they got the list probably correct. This is probably the best list they've ever fucking done.
I agree, because it's like you said, it's historically accurate. It's historically influential with bands like the Doors and the Byrds, and they did, you know, they could have taken the easy route and put Crew or Guns at number one, but they went Van Halen for reasons that we talked about. So I definitely think it's one of their better lists.
Yeah. 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 I mean, if you think about it though, they did kind of cheat a little by, if you go by album sales, it seems that's what they did. Now that you think about it.
Perhaps. Yeah.
Right. Van Halen, yeah. And then Guns N' Roses, the Doors.
The Doors.
And then you got like the Birds and things like that.
Yeah.
And then album sales might have been kind of heavily influencing, not what's synonymous with the Sunset Strip.
Good point. Good point. Yep. Yep.
Who knows? I like the list, though. It's pretty good. For the first time in a while, I enjoyed the list. I like going over this. And
me too.
Yeah. Well, till next time. Peace out, Girl Scout.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.